Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Hey, it's wonderful to be here with you this morning, as always, and welcome for those of you who are tuning in over live stream. We're just going to continue preaching the Word and just talking about His goodness, His peace. What it means to live a life walking with the Lord Jesus. And so I'm going to invite you to go ahead and stand up with me. We're going to read the vision together. And then we're also going to read our foundational verse in Romans 14, 17 through 19. So let's start with the vision. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So again, this is Romans chapter 14, verses 17 through 19. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Lord, we come before you and we open ourselves up to whatever it is, God, that we need from you this morning. I think sometimes, God, we get out of bed on a Sunday morning, come to church thinking we know what we need, when in reality, you know. You are the one, God, who has the word that can penetrate our hearts and to tell us exactly, Lord, what it is you are desiring to speak to us. So, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to be open this morning for your will and your ways, God. Any obstinance towards that, anything that would keep us back from what you want to say, Lord, would you just remove those obstacles? Lord, we come open and ready. And I pray, God, that you would make the increase. Lord, we can water and we can plant, but only you make the increase. So Holy Spirit, come, do what only you can do by making that increase in each of our hearts. Help us, God, to walk worthy of the calling by which we are called, worthy of the name by which we are named, that we are Christians, Christians. We are named after you, Lord Jesus. So help us, Lord, to walk in the light, to walk in your ways, and to be totally open to your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So we want to pursue the things that make for peace, that make for edification. And it doesn't always feel good to actually be edified, in any matter of edification, which means to build up. In any matter of edification, there sometimes has to be some demolition first, sometimes some tearing down, and sometimes making messes. I think I've shared before that the house I live in, I'm pretty sure was built in 1890. And I tell you what, if you'll dig into it, you'll find it. If you dig into an old house, you'll find things that you weren't looking for. Extra projects you didn't know you were going to have to add onto your list. And it is a mess. It is a mess. You're like, how do you know your house was built in 1890? Well, I was ripping down the walls in the kitchen one day and layers of wallpaper. I mean, just layers of them. And the very first one I could find, down to the first layer, was wallpaper that on the back of had newspaper clippings. And this particular article, it was very grimy and hard to read, but this particular article shared that anyone who wanted to could come to the dedication of a certain statue that was being dedicated in Chicago. It's a famous statue of Lincoln in Chicago. And they could come if they wanted to. And I happened to do some research into what statue they're talking about in Chicago, and it was like, you got to be kidding me. This thing was erected and dedicated in 1890. And I'm like, well, this is some, you know, some old stuff I'm dealing with here as far as this house goes. But like I said, you dig into it and you find things you weren't looking for, and it might make for some extra projects. That's kind of how it is with us too, that God is seeking to edify us, to build us up. But in order to build us up, sometimes digging into the heart, you're going to find things you didn't know was there. And sometimes they're going to make you roll your eyes just like you do in a house when you find something you wish wasn't there. You're like, really? I thought it was only going to cost this much to, you know, replace this or to tear this out or to blah, blah, blah. Sometimes we find things in our heart like that and we're like, really? I thought I was already like, you know, level 100 at this, right? For those of my nerds out there. I thought I was already done with this. I was already making such progress, only to find there's more to it. It goes deeper than we might expect. You see, God desires for us to come to him and to be open for how he wants to edify us, how he wants to build us. And I promise you that it will not come just by giving you warm and fuzzy feelings or giving you an inspiring word that makes you feel like you can conquer the world. Sometimes it's a hard word. Sometimes it's what's called admonishment, which is the idea that God is wanting to bring correction, that he wants to bring direction. Because the truth is, there's like Pastor Fred often will say, without direction, there's no protection, right? Without correction, there's no protection. Without the correction of the Holy Spirit, we'll just run willy-nilly, do what we feel like at all times, and get ourselves into a lot of trouble, all while enjoying really inspiring words and heartfelt messages and things that make us feel good about ourselves. Look, sometimes the last thing we need is to be cajoled. And what it means to be cajoled is to have someone rub your back and say, it's okay. What you're doing is fine. It's okay. And every one of us desires that to some extent. We want to be told we're in the right, and we never want to be told that we're in the wrong. And if someone dares try to do so, well, they will be met with, you know, certain angry words and a scowl on our face, and we'll let them know that we're not okay with that. We'll say, get behind me, Satan, when a word comes to bring correction. It's really from the Lord, and then we act like it's not, right? I remember what I call courageous conversation. I had a courageous conversation with a friend once who had just come to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He grew up unchurched. He never was in the church growing up, didn't read his Bible, and essentially was new at everything having to do with Christianity, okay? Now, the thing is, he was very upset. And he was upset because he felt like a lot of things in his life were falling apart. He was like, I thought like coming to Jesus, things would get better, right? I thought that I would be a better person, for example. And he just started relaying to me that, in fact, he was getting into a lot of altercations, physical altercations. He had gotten into a few fights. And, you know, this was probably back in like right after high school, I would say, around that time. And he was relaying this to me and was so upset that he was getting into all of these tiffs with people and was wondering, why is this happening? And I told him, I was like, well, the truth is, brother, like all of these areas that you're struggling with are things that were already there. You just didn't see them yet. And the closer you get to Jesus, it's like the closer you are getting to the light. Jesus is referred to as the light. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, I am the light. I'm the light of the world. And he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He is the light. And so to get closer to Christ is to get closer to that light. And when that light is shining on you more and more intensely, it's going to reveal more and more what's going on in here. Now, up until then, he hadn't been walking in the light at all, right? Like I said, he didn't know Christ. He didn't know the light. But upon getting closer to Christ, suddenly things were revealed. It's not that they were created in that moment. It's not that they weren't there before. They had always existed in him. Now he just recognizes the darkness for what it is because now the light is making it clear. You walk in a room that's fully pitch black. Are you going to say, you see all these shadows in here? No, you don't see any shadows. It's all in darkness. But if you turn the light on, well, I can look under your chairs right now and I see shadows under your chairs, right? We're making shadows because light is shining. And by contrast, there is shadow. Getting closer to Christ, sometimes it begins to reveal the dark corners of the heart. And we need that. We need him to reveal those things. And we need to respond in kind because it is to our benefit he shows us. If those things go hidden and then remain hidden and they're not revealed, it can actually be extremely detrimental, not only to you, but to people around you. It is for our benefit that Christ shows us these things. So kind of just to reiterate in other words, before we knew Christ, before you and I know Christ, everything in our life is in spiritual darkness. We are blind to just how dark things truly are in our hearts. But when Jesus brings the light, there is now a contrast between the light he brings and the shadowy places that are still in those dark corners in our hearts. These dark places were already there, but were not perceptible until contrasted with the light of Christ. Do you know what the word benighted means? It's not a word you oftentimes hear in the common vernacular, but benighted means to be overtaken by darkness. Overtaken by darkness, by being in a state of intellectual and moral ignorance. So when we are in a state of moral and intellectual ignorance, we are benighted. In fact, if you read through the scriptures, you'll notice that light and dark are talked about quite frequently. And usually what they're referring to is not always, you know, physical light that we talk about, but actually the difference between revelatory and divine knowledge and understanding from God being light versus darkness, which is spiritual depravity and ignorance. And these things are opposed to one another. So when we are spiritually ignorant, when we don't know what God says on a matter, or we don't believe what God says on a matter, we are benighted in that area. We are overtaken by darkness, being in a state of intellectual and moral ignorance. You ever heard of ignorance is bliss? Not in the kingdom. Not in the kingdom. You might think, well, I'd rather not know. Just like I would rather not know about some of the other projects I still probably have to do in my house that I don't know right now, because they just keep showing up. I don't know about them yet. The truth is, I wish they weren't there, but that doesn't make it so. And some of those things can be quite detrimental if you don't catch them fast. I don't really want my house falling on top of me and my family. So if there's foundation issues, I'd rather know. There are, by the way. But to do what you can to be aware of them and to get wisdom on how to fix these things is really the big part of renovating a house, right? Well, similarly, we have to come to Christ, have his light shine on our hearts, and maybe it's things we wish that weren't there, we wish they didn't exist, but they do, and they are, they're right there. And we need his wisdom to do some renovation in our heart and in our lives. Noticing the contrast of the light of Christ in the now noticeable dark places in my friend's heart, he was not at peace. Like I told you, he was upset. He was distraught. He was struggling. Why was he struggling? Why was he so upset? Because he's a new child of light in this moment, and his actions were not lining up with light. They were lining up with darkness. One of the biggest reasons believers do not find themselves living in his peace and healing is because there is such a contrast between who they are as a child of light and their dark actions. Though they have seen the light of Jesus, they allow themselves to become benighted again. If you really want the peace of the Holy Spirit, you can no longer live as a child of light while practicing darkness. You will not be able to tap into the peace of God, the healing of God, if being a child of light, you are at the same time practicing things you know are befitting of darkness and only darkness, the ways of evil. This kind of life does not have peace. And where there is no peace, Holy Spirit is not in it. I want to be where the Holy Spirit is. I want to grow. in the areas of my heart and my life he's calling me to. But how often is it that we're just running from him while going to church, by the way? I'm not referring to people who are like, you know, they say they don't want anything to do with God and they literally don't because they don't show up to anything having to do with God. Like, you know, we get those people. We always get the extreme in our mind. I'm talking about people who may very well, you know, they could say yes and amen to everything I'm saying to you right now, but not follow through. That's really, I think, the target of this message is children of light who are not at peace because their lifestyle is not lining up with what they know to be the truth. And they say, well, I'm forgiven. Yes, yes. That does not mean that there's no consequences to sin. You can have forgiveness. You can be cleansed of your unrighteousness, all because of the blood of Jesus and nothing else. That's the only way. But to live a lifestyle that doesn't line up with not just the righteousness of our identity, but the behavioral righteousness that we can now live out because he enables us to, because he gives us power to. He didn't send Holy Spirit into your life for you to live a defeated life of not living like Christ. Holy Spirit is in you to help you become like Christ, to walk in the light as he is in the light. It can be very, very easy to come here and to just play the part. We're going to touch more about that here in a little bit. But first, I want to go to John chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. Speaking of Jesus, it says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So the truth is, we either run to the light or we run from the light. And it doesn't matter if you call yourself a Christian or not, there's really only two options here. We're running to the light or we're running from the light. And how it plays out in actuality, in practicality, this verse really describes it. It says that the condemnation is this, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Why? It says, because their deeds were evil. Now let's bring some definition to good and evil. I feel like I'm writing a philosophical paper on the matter. Like, what is good? What is evil? That's like one of the favorite questions in a philosophy class. Well, I happen to subscribe to, I think, a really good definition that A.W. Tozer, an amazing Christian author, he put it very simply. He said, something is good to the extent that it conforms to the will of God, and evil as it fails to do so. Let's say that again. Something is good to the extent that it conforms to the will of God, and evil as it fails to do so. So if we're saying that this is the will of God, if we start to deviate from it, the more we deviate from it, the more evil, whatever action or whatever thought or whatever thing it is that we're entertaining, the more it perverts itself away from the truth. That's what evil is. God's goodness. Okay, and you know, as if I'm putting like a meter here, if you will, or a standard, you can be off just a little bit, okay? And like, so like when we talk about obedience and disobedience, like 99% obedience to the will of God is disobedience. Ouch, like what? I don't wanna hear that. I wanna be mostly good, but not like a Jesus freak. There's only his goodness. We want to make sure that we're in line with, because when we're in line with his goodness, we're in line with his will and in his ways. But to begin to deviate from it, even a hair, we are now inviting darkness and evil into our lives. And I'm not trying to be, you know, sound kind of creepy or over spiritual or whatever you might, you know, words you might use to describe such, but we can't play with this. Either it's good or it's not good. And if it's not good, do you even know if it's not? We want to conform to the will of God. Now, we were reading this verse and it talks about how those who don't believe, they run from the light. They hate the light because their deeds were evil. I mean, this verse plays out in practicality in this way, if you want to look at it. Not believing in Jesus equals practicing evil. Practicing evil equals loving darkness, and loving darkness equals hating Jesus, who is the light. You see, because this word for belief is not just mental assent to something. It's the Greek word pistuo, and it actually means to entrust yourself entirely upon, like this table, for instance. If I were to throw myself onto this table, it's because I trust that it would hold me up. I don't trust it. This thing's got issues, and I've tried to tighten it before, and I think it's time we get a new one. I mean, like, you can't really, I'm literally like, I'm better stop or I'm gonna make it fall apart. I don't trust it, I'm not gonna get on it, right? I'm lucky I'm even putting my Bible on top of it because it's pretty wobbly, okay? You're exemplifying belief right now in something, whether you know it or not. You're doing so with your chairs. You would not have sat in your chair had you not believed it would hold you up. You're exemplifying a degree of faith, if you will, in that chair, belief that it would do what it was designed to do. But if you happen to notice your chair was doing this number before you sat in it, you probably wouldn't have sat in it. You would have been like, I don't think so, right? You would have got a different chair. Well, similarly, belief in Christ can be described in those terms, that I don't just know that he exists, I can trust the entirety of who I am upon him. I can lean on him. He can carry my weight. That he is able to bear me up. That's really what faith looks like. It's trusting in him to that point where there's nothing in your life that you believe he can't handle. That's belief. So it says that, I just want to read it again. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe, does not have that kind of trust that I just described, is condemned already because he's not believed, trusted, had faith in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, meaning this is what's worthy of punishment, is really what this word is referring to. That the light has come into the world, Jesus has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than they loved light. Because their deeds were evil. I don't know if you've ever met the person who's like this. Maybe sometimes we're that person. I've literally heard people say, like, I would follow Jesus, but I want to have fun first. I would do this whole thing, you know, about following God, but I want to do my own thing first. And then later, maybe I'll consider following Jesus. Where I'm happy that they're at least being honest, I at the same time have to chuckle because it's as if they think Jesus is the end of good things in their life. They think, oh, if I make Jesus Lord, then fun is gone. It's not that way. The truth is, inviting Christ into your life to be your Lord and Savior, like when I look at the difference between, I didn't become a Christian until I was about 15, and was already involved in all kinds of things I shouldn't have been and thought I had a pretty good definition of what fun was. I promise you, life has been nothing but way more satisfying since following Christ and since growing closer to him. And God, truth be told, he's the inventor of fun. Book of James says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. If it's good, it's God, okay? It's coming from him. Yeah. And so if there be any type of fun that is good, and such fun exists, by the way, you can know that fun really found its source and its origin in God, who is fun. Now, the reason you might think otherwise is because you have an erroneous or wrong perception of who Jesus is. You think Jesus is the producer of, like, nuns or something. And only nuns. That at some advanced age, you you know, cloister yourself alone in some monk monastery where all you do is toil over the scripture, like chanting old traditional like hymns, and you just dust is falling out of your mouth as you do it. Okay, my explanation is really bizarre and out there. I get it. But the truth is, at some point or another, we get the wrong notion of what these words mean. We think of holiness and we think, strict, austere, severe. But the reality is, holiness is wholeness. To be holy in the way that it describes, it's life-giving. To walk in the light is not to say goodbye to fun, it's to embrace life to the fullest. Yeah. It's beautiful, and I would replace it with nothing. I would not give this for anything. That's what it is. But the truth is, a lot of people think, I'll do it later. I don't want to do it now because I have so many things I want to experience first. You'll be waiting a long time for those people. You know, sometimes they'll say, well, at this age, I literally have heard people give an exact age. When I am this age, I'll start taking God seriously. And I keep track, by the way, I remember these things. And some of those people who said those things, it's been some time since the target date. And I don't even know if they remembered saying that. That's the thing, you know. That's what we will. We'll push it off, we'll push it off, we'll push it off. We want to live in the light, amen? This is the condemnation. Light's come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You see, so not believing in Jesus, not having that kind of pistuo-type trust, reliance upon, means that if you're not going to put your trust in Christ, you're going to put it somewhere else. And if you put it somewhere else, it will lead you to practicing evil, which will lead you to loving darkness. And we don't love darkness for its own sake. We love it because it helps us to hide. You want to stay in it because you don't want to bring to the light the things that God wants to expose and to bring to the light for the sake of your health, your wholeness, his love for you. So when we abide in darkness and we want to stay in hiding, we begin to produce a hate for Jesus, who is the light. We shy away from the light. We become like people who've had a ridiculous hangover, partying the night before, and someone turns the light on us in the morning, and with our brains basically cracking out of our skulls, it feels like, we're like, turn that off! Oh, I'm sorry. Did you not know I was going to give real examples? Relatable examples? The reality is, sometimes the light offends us, and it sometimes brings pain. Sometimes. We want to shield our eyes from it and run the opposite direction. Get me into the darkest room near here because I want to hide more. That will never produce peace. And by the way, like I said, target audience here, you can be someone who goes to church all the time and name the name of Christ, and yet be living a lifestyle completely unrelated to his lordship and his will. And you can not tap into the peace and healing of God, even by coming to church as frequently as you might, without who you are as a person beginning to line up with what you say you believe.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.